Now, if the children would like to come forward, I think someone's coming to visit us this morning.
Hello. Am I facing the right way? I hope you don't mind, but I've decided that my world will just be in this box. Who thinks that's a good idea? You don't think it's a good idea? But it's so much easier in here. If I live in this box, then I don't have to have any troubles whatsoever, because all my world is inside this box. Who thinks that's a good idea? Because if I have all of my world inside this box, then I don't need to worry about what's outside of this box, do I? That would be good. And I think that that would be a grand idea. It's a very nice box in here. It's got a wall and a wall and a wall and a wall. It's not that interesting at all, really, is it? Maybe if I invite someone to come and stay with me for a while, do you think that would be good? Would people like to come and stay with me in my box? No, okay. But see, the reason why I got in this box is because I've been reading in the Bible that it says things like this. It says, we've been reading about our Father in heaven and how holy his name is. And it said in the that give us this day our daily bread. And I thought, well, that's pretty funny if you need bread. And I thought, if I needed bread and I just didn't want to worry about other things that were going on, then that would be really easy for me just to focus on the bread. So I'm in here, in my box, not thinking about anything else out there. Just my, I've got some bread here, so I'm going to... Oh, no. Did someone just take my bread? So I haven't even got my daily bread now when I'm stuck in my box. So maybe when God's telling me that I've got to be asking for my daily bread, I've got to be thinking a bit more than just about myself. Have I got to be thinking a bit more than just about myself? Can anyone else other than kids out there help me out? Okay, maybe I need to come, maybe I need to let go of my box. Oh. Have you got my bread? Okay, you can take it upstairs for me. But kids, hands up here. Who here, when you think about praying for your food, think about other things? Oh, sorry, first, who prays for their food when they have a meal? Yeah, we pray for our food when we have a meal, don't we? Here's a question for you. Who here thinks about other people sitting at the table when you're praying for your food? You take it for me. Who thinks about other people at the table when you're praying for your food? Oh. Who thinks about other people that aren't in your house when you're praying for your food? And who thinks about people on the other side of the planet when you're praying for your food? So it's an interesting thing when God talks to us about, give us this day, today, for us to have our food, our stuff. And so when we're going to be talking about today upstairs, when we're talking about praying, we want to talk about how we can think about how God wants us to think bigger than just what's inside our box. Because if we just think what's inside our box and in our box all alone, then that's not what God has planned for us. He has planned something far bigger for us to be able to know about this world and for us to be praying for this world. Yeah, I know. The box is here still. But what we've got to be thinking is bigger than just what's inside our box. Now, the box for you guys, what do you think your box might be? Has anyone got any thoughts or ideas of what your box might be? Have you got an idea? Sunday school could be a box. Yeah, very true. You might just come to church and the only time you talk about God is just in Sunday school. That's a good point. Is there any other times when you might be in your box? Does anyone call their bedroom their box? Yes. Does anyone call? Okay, so we might be just be thinking about what's inside our house. Anyway, I think the box has lost the point. And what we might do is we might pray. Do you want to come and help me pray? Yeah, well, we'll take it upstairs and then we can. Okay, Lockie, grab a seat. We're going to pray. Let's pray, hey? Thanks, buddy. Okay. Dear God, we want to thank you for today, and we pray that the things that we learn about today help us to know you, God, and to know that you are big, 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 and that you're bigger than just what's inside our little box, and that you love us and you love the world. And we pray these things in your precious name, God. Amen. Let's go. We'll head upstairs.
This morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is unscripted, but I'd just like to pray for Michelle as she comes this morning. There are some of you, some people here who have no idea of who Michelle is. Hopefully this morning you will find out. This is an amazing woman who has an amazing story and has given of herself over many years of service to the Lord. So, Lord, I pray this morning, Father, as Michelle comes, Father, that you will guide her, Father, that you will give her peace of mind, Father, you would give her the powerful words that you want her to speak to you, speak for you, Father. We ask, Father, that those of us here who do not know Michelle and those who do know Michelle, Father, will be encouraged and uplifted by the message she brings. And, Father, we thank you for Michelle. We thank you, Father, for the servanthood that she has demonstrated in her life, Father. And we ask, Father, that you would just bless this woman as she comes and ministers to us this morning. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. He's done it all.
Thanks, Bruce. Thank you. Good morning, church. How are you this lovely wet morning day? Now, I always did this many years ago. I have learned that those who are short-winded get invited back. Not that I want to come back. I mean, I do want to come back to church, obviously, but not speak. But just want to keep the timing right. Я приветствую это из Отрасия Церкви, из Благовест и Братья Сестры. So I bring you greetings from the Благовест churches in Russia. Я очень рада это здесь, и я рада это говорить про вот это служение там. So I'm so thrilled to be able to share a little bit about the work in Russia, what God's doing there, and from your church family. I'm obviously not Russian, but I did have to learn the language. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can come, and as it's been shared before, Lord, we come freely. Help us not to take that freedom for granted, Lord. There are so many countries, so many nations, so many believers, Father, that do not enjoy the freedom that we have here in Australia. So I pray, Father, Lord, as we come and we hear from you, Lord Jesus, that you would open our hearts. Father, it might have been a busy week. May you just quieten our spirits, Lord. And we might already be thinking about the week week ahead, Lord. I pray, Father, that again, quieten our spirits and just speak to us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the opportunities, Lord, and the privileges we have to make you known in our community. And I pray this morning that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in his name and for his glory. He chooses people like you and me to be his servants, to be his ambassadors, to be his light in this dark world. Are we running in this faith race for his glory? Are we representing him in all that we do and say, in the way we live our lives? Are our lives dedicated solely to him? Is he our Lord? Is he our King? Do our lives show a deep love and desire to be God's people? Or is life just plain difficult? Are you ready to give up, to throw in the towel and simply walk away? Is life too hard and walking down a road or a different road would seem so much easier and definitely less painful? We are in a race, a faith race, where the runners are believers in Jesus Christ, and the goal, the prize that we run towards is eternal life in Jesus. As we turn to Scripture, we see in the book of Hebrews that we are exhorted to continue in this faith race with perseverance, patience, and faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. This race we run involves both joy and hardships. You cannot choose one or the other. They are part and parcel of this running course that we take. This race also requires us to have absolute obedience to our Father God. It's not always easy to obey, is it? And if the children were here, I'd ask them that. But I'll ask the adults and the grown-ups. It's not always easy to obey, is it? Sometimes this means going down a less trodden path. But we know as believers in Jesus that he has walked before us down this path. He is the one leading us. Wholehearted obedience from his people is the sacrifice that God really desires. The sacrifice that he delights in. His son Jesus Christ went to the cross in absolute obedience to his Father and became our Redeemer. That same obedience allows us, his redeemed, to walk in grace and power as we persevere in this race. Our prize is eternal salvation, a glorious eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. This faith race we run is set before us. It is marked out clearly in God's word, and we have many examples of faithful servants who have gone before us running the very same race. The race isn't easy, though. It takes patience, endurance, and perseverance. There are difficulties that can become obstacles if we lose our way, if we turn aside, or if we give in to various temptations that are placed in our path. As Christian believers, we have the greatest example to encourage us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. So let us fix our eyes on him and run with perseverance. As believers, we should be fixing ourselves, our minds, our hearts, and our lives on the eternal goal. Are we striving for kingdom values, for kingdom vision, for kingdom perspective, and for kingdom living in our own lives? We are on this earth to represent the kingdom, to be his ambassadors in a world that has truly lost its way. Are our lives testifying to God's transforming gospel and the love he has for the unsaved? For me, many years ago, that meant laying aside 3 years of my life and going to Bible college. I was brought up in a non-Christian home. My uncle was a Satanist. My grandmother was an atheist. Both my parents were atheists. And also my father was an alcoholic and mother a very, very heavy drinker. I realized the day that I gave my life to the Lord that my history was not going to be my destiny. I wasn't the smartest cookie in the pack, and honestly, academia scared me, still does today. It was hard going. I left school when I was 15. I didn't even finish high school. So going off to Bible college, and at first they didn't even accept me because I wasn't smart enough, apparently. But it was tough, and it was hard because there wasn't too many people in my age group who come from non-Christian homes. A lot of them were MKs, PKs, and every other K. Basically, very few of us were come from non-Christian homes. So coming from a non-Christian home meant that I didn't get those Sunday school stories. And I got to tell you, I love Mark's stories. They are so great. I love when I see him on, I'm like, yay, I'm going to enjoy this children's talk today. But I didn't get those. I didn't get those lessons and Christian experiences, those home group Bible studies. And I'm really blessed. I'm in Bruce and Faye's home group, and I've got all my home group members here today. And that is such a precious time of the week for me to meet with my home group and spend time with them praying and studying God's word. But I didn't get that growing up. Those challenging and God-centered sermons on a Sunday, these are the training times that perhaps we do take for granted. My first and foremost reason for going to Bible college was to know God, God's word more intimately, and to gain a strong foundation. However, 6 months before beginning Bible college, God called me to Russia, and specifically through a dream. And in this dream, I was standing on a street corner telling the Russians about Jesus. I still don't know to this day how I knew it was Russia, but I did. And from that point on, God gave me an overwhelming love for the Russian people that still burns in my heart today. Obedience is saying to God, whatever, whenever, wherever, and however. Obedience is saying to God, whatever, whenever, wherever, and however. I have had the privilege of serving in Russia with One Mission Society for the past 24 years. I started out as a church planter and have had various ministries, did a lot of different things. But 13 years ago, I started a ministry called A Rainbow of Hope, or in Russian, Raduga Nadezhda. This is a ministry to Russian orphans. When I started to see the problem and the plight of orphans in Russia, my heart was breaking. The joy for any cross-cultural worker is to see a ministry begun, transition to national leadership, and to continue to flourish under their leading. I am so excited to see the Blagovest Church families in Russia embracing this ministry and continuing to serve our Russian orphans today. I have a DVD. It is a little bit older. I made it a few years ago, but it still shows you the essence of the work there. We're going to show that, my lovely audiovisual people, and then I will share a little bit more about orphans.
Imagine the future of a country in which 1 out of 21 of its inhabitants is an orphan. This is the situation in Russia, where economic and social instability have devastated this country. Sadly, 70% of children in orphanages are known as social orphans. They have a living parent who are either unable or unwilling to care for them. Social and economic issues have caused thousands of parents to permanently leave their children in orphanage care. Generally, most orphanages are barren with outdated facilities. The buildings are commonly dilapidated and uninhabitable by Western standards. Due to funding being scarce, it is sometimes a challenge to provide basic food and clothing for the children. Most children never have owned their own clothes or a single toy. Abuse in orphanages is manifested in various ways. Children are often severely beaten, thrown out into the cold without adequate clothing, isolated from human contact, restrained to furniture, or locked in dark rooms for days at a time. The societal belief is that there is something wrong with these children for them to be in an orphanage. Orphans are categorized as subhuman, underclass, and rejects of society. With this attitude to them, they are deemed unworthy to receive education, medical care, and love.
Rainbow of Hope began because we had a desire to reach our orphans and to make a difference in their life. It began with us going out weekly to the orphanages to conduct craft classes with the children, to build relationships with the children, with the director, and with the staff. We desired to make a difference in their lives through just showing love, compassion, and mercy. We started with craft and just doing craft weekly with the children. It was such a joy for them to do that, and we found it improved their motor skills. We were told early on that we could not share Christ with the children because there is a law in Russia that does not allow us to do that. But we found that we could show love. We could show Jesus' love through them, just through our attention to them and our consistency in going to the orphanage. This ministry is run by the Blagoveste Church and the brothers and sisters in the church. We have leadership meetings and training meetings every month where we desire to make a difference, and the church has really stepped up. We actually visit three orphanages weekly, and we conduct craft classes with the children, but we also do cooking classes. We found that the children didn't know basic things like boiling water, so we do what we call life skill classes. The brothers in the church have been going out and working with the boys doing basic trade, and we also do ESL classes. This is another way we can help for when the children have to transition to city life. Recently, we had a work team come, and they came and made a difference in our toilets. The toilets are in a really bad state and uninhabitable by Western standards, but we wanted to make a difference in the children's life and health. So the team came and we demolished their toilets. The children just loved having the foreigners there. It was such a great joy. Today, the favourite room the children like to go to is the toilet. As we were journeying to the village every day, we were taking seats of the villagers, and there was a lot of talk on the bus, and they were asking, why are you coming? Why are you doing this? And why are you loving these children that we just don't love? The impact that it had on the village and the orphanage staff was profound. Every one of us has a responsibility of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, of being his hands and his feet in a suffering world. These dear children need hope. They need to know compassion. They need love and care. Rainbow of Hope is a Russian OMS orphan ministry bringing his hope, his love, his compassion, and his promises to these precious children.
The life of an orphan is incredibly sad, as the DVD shared, that 70 to 80% of the orphans are social, which means they do have a living parent who is either unable or unwilling. A lot of the time the parents are in jail or they've been taken off them by the state because of abuse. Unfortunately, the statistics of the children coming out isn't much better. 70 to 80% of the girls are released at 16, sometimes earlier, of age, and they are dragged into trafficking and prostitution. 80 to 90% of the boys that graduate at 15 and 16 are dragged into crime, narcotics, jail, and 30% of that two group commit suicide within the first 2 to 3 months of coming out of an orphanage. We are losing children through neglect. There are 3 million orphans in Russia and 4 million street children, and most of the street children have come out of an orphanage and landed on the streets. the life inside an orphanage sometimes isn't much better. We worked with oligophrenic children, which meant disabled, didn't mean sometimes physical, sometimes mental disability, because legally we weren't actually supposed to be in the orphanages at all, so we had to go out to the villages. If we were caught in the city, we could be arrested, so we had to go out into the villages, and that's where a lot of the disabled orphanages were. They were definitely the ones that were underfunded and probably needed the most help. But some of the stories, in the end, I stopped asking about the child's history because it just broke my heart. But a little girl, Sveta, I met her when she was 3.5, and she still didn't speak. She didn't speak a word. And I asked what happened, and from the moment she was born, for the first year of her life, her parents were alcoholics. They would tie her down to the cot and pour vodka down her throat to keep her quiet so they could party without a baby crying. This, of course, burnt her throat. Vodka, Russian vodka, is very strong. And it burnt her throat and vocal cords. And it's taken a long time to help her be able to speak. But, of course, she got tested. And because she didn't speak nearly at the age of 4, she was branded an imbecile and sent through the track of oligophrenic, which means very little help and very little funding. Another little boy, Vardik, I noticed had a lot of bruises and burns on him. I shouldn't have asked, but I did, and found out again. He didn't have a mother. He had a father, again, alcoholic. And his father, for fun, would heat up a spoon over a flame and put it on his child's body because he liked the smell of burning flesh. He liked torturing his little 3-year-old. These are some of the stories, and there's a lot worse, and I don't want to share them all because it just breaks my heart to know what these kids have endured. And then, unfortunately, inside the orphanages, it's not much better. A lot of the village orphanages, the staff aren't paid so well, so they traffic the children through the day. They traffic out to farmers. And these children, the girls, most average Russian girls, by the age they're 15, have had 3 abortions already, and not safe ones either. What these children endure is just heartbreaking. And then they're let out into the big wide world at 16, and it's not much better. The bandits, the mafia, all of them know where the orphans come from. They know when they come out, and they prey on them. And unfortunately, they drag them into organized crime. We as believers have a biblical mandate to take care of orphans and widows, to take care of orphans. And if we as believers don't do it, who will? So as a body of believers in our churches across Russia, we have taken up that mandate and that mantle to go into these orphanages. Yes, there is a cost physically, particularly for the Russians, because, again, if they're caught, they will be arrested. The Russian Orthodox Church is the only church legally allowed to actually work in orphanages. But again, we go out to the ones that are so far out of town, no one cares about it, and we get away with a lot. We're told we're not allowed to talk about God, and we honour that. But we can show God's love without actually speaking his name. But we have found, as we've built relationships with the directors and with the staff, that slowly they have allowed us to share Christ with a lot of these children. So we're very excited to see the different programs. We do everything from life skills. The children didn't know how to make a cup of tea. They thought water turned up in a cup, brown and hot. They didn't know how to boil a potato. And again, at 16, they're released to fend for themselves. So we run everything from life skill classes to craft to basic trade to help the children get prepared. But our motivation to do it is to build a relationship with these children. So when they do come out, they know us, they trust us, and then we have a lot more opportunities to help them assimilate into society. But of course, we want to share Jesus Christ and tell them about a Heavenly Father who will never leave nor forsake them. I have to say, life in Russia isn't always easy. The temperatures range from plus 30 to minus 46. Minus 46 is the coldest I've been in, plus wind chill. After about minus 20, your spit will freeze before it hits the ground. So if you want to spit at someone, you can actually hurt them and send a missile their way. I used to tell this story and people thought it was great. My hair's naturally curly, so unfortunately I'm stuck with this. But, you know, hair dryers weren't available when I first went to Russia, so I found a really great way to give myself a haircut and dry my hair. I would actually go out into the balcony when it was minus 30 with wet head. It would freeze quickly and then I'd just snap it off. And that's how I did give myself a fringe cut, and then it didn't matter because it looked ratty anyway. Girls, waterproof mascara doesn't exist. Tried every part of it you can imagine. Often I'd be out trying to get to church, waiting for a bus, much like this morning, freezing and rubbing my eyes, and then of course crying because it was so cold, and then they'd freeze shut, and then I'd get to church and look like a skunk because all my mascara had run everywhere. So, you know, life there is so different. I laugh when people say it's cold here. I'm like, you have no idea. We do not know what cold is in Queensland for sure, and even actually in Australia. But I just loved life there. It wasn't easy in the early days. I mean, I was followed. Then there was the KGB, now it's the FSB. I was interrogated, followed quite often, and I had two agents on me. I lived in a smaller city, it's 10 hours north of Moscow, 10 hours south of St. Petersburg, so I was kind of in the middle. The city was 220,000, which by Russian standards is small, but it was still small, big enough to know that I had two agents, and they were the same agents that would follow me everywhere. And we'd often joke when we saw holes in our wall, because we rented our flats, that the flats were bugged. Our phone definitely was bugged. I remember a phone call back to Australia. I was, you know, Australians talk very fast, and I get very excited and talk fast. And I was talking to someone, and they brought something up, and on the other end with a very strong accent, "Please slow down, I can't understand everything." So, I mean, you can hear them breathing. So, guys, religious freedom does not exist, and I don't have time this morning to tell you all the fun stories. Maybe we can get together another time, and I'll just tell you some life. I am actually writing a book about life in Russia at the moment. But yes, life there is very different to Australia, but a life that I loved and would long to go back to. Very excited to also know that we have a family centre in one of our churches. They bought a big warehouse. It had a basement. We spent many teams and many summers cleaning that out, remodelling it completely, and we now have the Raduga Nadezhda Rainbow of Hope Family Centre. This is a drop-in centre primarily made for orphans, but they do a lot of different ministries, everything from doing life skills and classes with the children when they come out, and they're offering legal and counselling for just the community, just to get the community to come. It's a massive, massive building, probably about 5-6 times the size of this church, the underneath, and it's so exciting to see. I talked to Lena, she's my director there, and I talked to her once a month, and she was saying they have a threefold strategy: prevention, going into the orphanages and working with the children, and then aftercare. And that's what we're trying to do, is keeping these kids off the street, getting them into homes, training them in a vocation, getting them adopted into a local Russian home, and actually caring for them any way we can. And it's so exciting to see Yelena and her team of about 20, what they're doing in Borovichi, and then I've got a team in Rybinsk, and then we work in Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and the Ukraine. So we've got our local churches, our brothers and sisters, mobilising and equipping to reach orphans for Christ across these nations. There's a way you can be involved in this too. I don't have my brochure, it's actually on the back table. Do you want to escape Australian winter? Because it's so cold here. Would you like to go to Russia next June? It breaks my heart because this is the first team I'm not going to be taking or not being there for. But I do have one of my Russian pastors who now lives in America. He's going to be leading the team. I'll do all the work, but he'll be physically there. We need a combination of tradies, so not just carpenters and sparkies and plumber. Mr. Palaszczuk, where are you? I don't see you, but I know you're here somewhere. Any tradies? Farmers, I find, are great. Farmers can turn their hands to anything. We need about 6 to 7 tradies, and then we're doing an orphanage camp. So we need women as well. So if you would like to come, or if you know someone in your sphere of influence that would like to go and bless the Russian people, bless these children, I've got a brochure on the back table. Please go and have a look. There we go. Actually, Evie's showing... not that one, but there's another one out there. Thank you, Evie, though. on the back table with more, you can come and see me for more information. There's also another way you can be involved, and that is through spiritual adoption. Spiritual adoption is a program that the Lord gave me in a dream. And people always say, "Look, Michelle, how come God always speaks to you in dreams?" And another friend didn't give me a chance to answer. She said, because she never shuts up enough through the day for her to listen to him then. So he talks to me in dreams. But in this, it was the spiritual adoption. So there's a brochure on the back table. Would you be willing to give 5 minutes of your day to pray for a Russian orphan? Would you be willing to transform their lives through the power of prayer? We have a spiritual adoption program. I'm just waiting for a new bunch of kids to come out, in that I've got their photos and their details. There's a brochure on the back table, again, with a little tear-off section. If you fill that out, you'll go on my mailing list and the Rainbow of Hope mailing list. You'll get a child's name. There you go, Evie, show that up now. A 31-day prayer guide, and also some information about your child. The sad thing is, if we get kicked out of the orphanages, I may never be able to tell tell you what has happened to that child, but God knows. So if you would like to be part of our spiritual adoption program, that's the brochure again on the back table. There you go. So Evelyn's been doing that, and we've got over 2,000 people around the world praying for our orphans. So you can be involved through physically praying and bringing these children to the Lord in prayer. Due to a serious health issue, I have not been able to live in Russia permanently for the past 2 years when I lost the ability to walk and was put into a wheelchair. In December 2008, whilst I was back home on furlough, I was diagnosed with a rare disease called multisystemic sarcoidosis, possibly contracted through exposure to radiation and chemicals that we would never see here in Australia. The nuclear submarines are all up in the Poliani and leaching into the waterways. I lived on the Volga River, like most Russian cities, and basically they've never been decommissioned. They've just been left there to rot. And so a lot of Russians, the average age lifespan is mid-50s for most Russians if they're exposed. This disease started in my lungs and lymph nodes and into my heart, but has since spread to my brain, eyes, joints, liver, kidneys and bones. I continue to battle and persevere with this disease that is incurable. My life is one filled with many, many, many hospital admissions and doctor's appointments. I've had several spine operations and I'm currently waiting on 2 knee replacements, an ankle replacement, a hip replacement, shoulder surgery and more spine surgery. But due to the damage to my heart from this disease, the surgeons currently won't move ahead because I can't have a general anaesthetic. I live in constant pain. Dear friends, my desire is to continue to persevere in battling this illness, to have faith to believe that God one day will heal me and the patience to wait on him for that time when maybe, maybe I can return to Russia full time once again, but this will truly take a miracle. If it isn't in this body, I have plans for my ashes to be returned to Russia. So I will get back there one day, whether it's like this form or in an urn, I'm going back. Sickness isn't a reason why you can't serve God. It just slows you down a little bit. The Lord God is asking for my obedience and complete submission of my life and will to his plans and purposes. My heart's desire is to bring him glory in all that I do and say. There are no guarantees but God, but the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. C.S. Lewis once quoted that God speaks to us in our well-being and shouts to us in our suffering. I don't know why God has allowed this illness in my life or why he hasn't chosen to heal me, but I do know that he is asking for my complete obedience to his will in my life and to trust him in all things, yes, even with sickness. I continue to run in this race, however, maybe a little bit slower, and my legs have been replaced with wheels. Through being sick, I've had the opportunity many times to share of the hope we have in Christ, the assurance we have in Christ, and the assurance of the cross in both hospital settings and also as I go about my daily life. God can use all things and all circumstances if we just allow him to. God chooses to work in our lives in very different ways. He meets us where we're at. He gently guides us so that we fulfill the plan he has for us. We are all precious in his sight, and he delights in working in and through us when we are obedient in allowing him to do so through sickness and through health. So let me ask you again, are we running in this faith race for his glory? Are we representing him in all that we do and say, in the way we live our lives? Are we being deliberate in making him known to our family, friends, colleagues, and to strangers? Are our lives dedicated solely to him? Is he our Lord? Is he our King? Do our lives and outward testimony show a deep love and desire to be God's people? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run this race with perseverance marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Dear ones, I want my life to still be useful and make a difference in this world. My prayer daily is to be deliberate in making him known and being active in showing his love to all I meet. I want to make a difference in this world by living and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about you? I continue to focus on what I still have, not what I have lost. However, I do miss Russia and her people so very much. My heart is very much with the Russian people, and they are never far from my heart and mind. My heart aches to return to the land and people that God has called me to all those years ago. God does indeed use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And this morning you've heard a little of my story. My prayer is that it has been an encouragement to you as you continue to develop your story, that God delights in our obedience to his will, that we would persevere in this race, that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we are willing to say, whatever, whenever, wherever, and however. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for what you are doing in the great land of Russia, Lord. I thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters there who under the penalty of death serve you, Lord Jesus. Father, against great odds and political opposition, Lord Jesus, Father, you are doing an amazing work in and through your people, Lord, and we want to praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for your faithful ones there. We thank you for our orphans, Lord, and we pray, Father, that many will come to know you, that their lives will be transformed, and that, Father, Father, they will come to know you and lead others, Lord. So the plight of orphans will be diminished in Russia, Lord Jesus, and across the Eastern Bloc. I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you want to use us, that you want to fill us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to mold and shape us into the men and women of God that you've called us to be. That, Father, every one of us is a missionary, God. Every one of us has that ability to share who you are in our lives, wherever you have placed us, Lord. So I pray as we leave today that we will go knowing we have been commissioned by you, Lord, to be your children, to be your light, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.